Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 64 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
Somehow, using technology that shows up one of our phone numbers there at the Sheriff's Department.
The Rowan County Sheriff's Department is warning residents about a tax scam.
An abandoned safe was found in Bath County filled with drugs and paraphernalia.
Rowan County has a new operations manager.
Kentucky's Senate Majority Leader hopes to pass another pension bill during the short session.
Two men are expected to announce they will run for the GOP nomination against Governor Matt Bevin.
In sports, Rowan County is gearing up for a doubleheader with Fleming County.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 50% chance of showers this evening with a low around 51. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
With tax season coming up, scammers are already trying to con Rowan County citizens with fraudulent claims that they owe back taxes. Michael Trent with the Rowan County Sheriff's Department says he's seen scams like this before.
Well, evidently someone is a group, or we don't know, it's probably the typical the scammers, mostly overseas, I would think, are calling people and leaving messages. Tell them that the IRS has a outstanding debt or lien against them, and they're going to be issuing a warrant.
Several Rowan County citizens have been targeted with these calls in recent weeks, according to Trent. He urges the public not to give out credit or debit card numbers or any bank information over the phone, and to contact police if they receive calls from these scam artists.
The Owingsville Police Department is thanking a local resident for reporting something out of place that led them to a cache of drugs and drug paraphernalia. In a post on Facebook, the department says the report led them to a safe that was lying on the side of the road. Inside the safe, investigators tell WKYT they found 4 ounces of heroin, several baggies of methamphetamine, hundreds of needles, and smoking pipes. Officers also say there were a few clues inside that safe that may help them determine where the safe came from. Police say an arrest is pending in the case.
A traffic stop in North Clake Drive in Prestonsburg led to 2 arrested on drug charges. According to the Floyd County Sheriff's Department, 38-year-old Arnold Wireman was charged with possession of methamphetamines, operating a motor vehicle with no license, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Also arrested was 60-year-old Mickey Johnson, who was charged with 2 counts of possession of controlled substances, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of marijuana, and alcohol intoxication. Both were taken to the Floyd County Detention Center.
A Martin County man has been arrested after a road rage incident. WSAZ reports Billy York is accused of shooting at a vehicle carrying 4 people last night, narrowly missing a 5-year-old. Martin County Sheriff John Kirk says the vehicle that was shot pursued York, sometimes exceeding 100 miles per hour. York was eventually apprehended by police in the grassy community of Martin County. York is charged with 4 counts of first-degree wanton endangerment and carrying a concealed deadly weapon.
A Lexington man was arrested Saturday, accused of pointing a rifle at people and exposing himself. According to WKYT, police say Jonathan Horn shined a bright light and pointed a rifle at neighbors from his home on Greenleaf Drive. When officers arrived to talk to Horn, they say he got angry and took off all his clothes. He's charged with wanton endangerment and indecent exposure.
Flatwoods police are searching for a man responsible for several break-ins. WSAZ reports residents in Raceland, Flatwoods, and Russell say a man has been looking in windows and knocking on doors in the area. Police say if nobody answers, he typically breaks into the home. A photo of the suspect, a young white man wearing a hoodie, is available on WSAZ's website. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Flatwoods Police Department. Tips may be anonymous.
Officials with the Floyd County Sheriff's Office are warning residents to be on the lookout for bears. In a Facebook post last week, they said 1 or 2 bears may be harassing residents near the Dwell community. They believe the animals have been getting into trash and tearing out the underpinning of mobile homes. Some people reported that the bear was looking into their homes through a window. Officials say the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife is aware of the matter, but there's not much they can do. Deputies have stepped up patrols in the area. Anyone who spots a bear can call the Floyd County Sheriff's Office at 606-886-6711.
A man was hit by a train early this morning in Madison County. WMKY's Haley Stidham has more.
Authorities received a call just after midnight that a man had been hit by a train near Maid Road in Madison County. Berea Police Lieutenant Jake Reed told WKYT there is a possibility the man could have been homeless and sleeping on the tracks. Because the area is hard to get to, there are some difficulties in the investigation, which is ongoing. The name of the victim has not yet been released. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with six lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
Rowan County has a new operations manager, a hybrid position created by Judge Executive Harry Clark. When Clark took office last week, he decided to eliminate the administrative assistant and deputy judge executive positions. During a special called session of the fiscal court today, Clark asked the group to approve the appointment of Jason Sloan to fill that new role.
The salaries of the deputy judge executive was $39,040, and the salary of the executive secretary was $32,240, and if my math is correct, that's $71,280.
Clark says the change will save the county more than $20,000 a year in addition to personnel benefits.
Elwood Cottle Jr. is on the job after taking office as the new Rowan County Clerk last week. The Democrat ran against Republican Kim Davis in the last election and won by 700 votes. Cottle says the transition into the county clerk's office has gone well and they are up and running.
We got under control. No delays. Anything you need, which we're ready for.
Cottle previously ran against former clerk Kim Davis in the 2014 Democratic primary elections and lost by 23 votes.
The Senate Majority Leader believes there's still hope to get another pension bill passed, despite the short time frame to do it. The 30-day regular session begins tomorrow, and some important topics expected to be brought up are casino gambling and marijuana legalization. Senate Majority Leader Damon Thayer is opposed to both subjects, but is highly concerned with pension reform. Thayer says getting things passed in a short session isn't as uncommon as it seems.
Yes, we've tackled big issues in the short session multiple times. Just 2 years ago, in a five-day span, we passed right to work, paycheck protection, we repealed prevailing wage, we passed pro-life bills.
Thayer says at the very least, lawmakers should try to pass the substance of Senate Bill 151 that was passed last year.
State Representative Robert Goforth, a Republican from East Bernstadt, is expected to announce his candidacy for governor on Tuesday. The About section on his website says he's running for governor because, quote, he wants to give back to the state and the people that helped him be successful in life. Goforth, a pharmacist, was elected into the General Assembly in 2018 in a special election and recently run re-election for his seat in the 89th House District. Goforth has previously pre-filed a bill that would make it a felony to perform an abortion on a fetus with a heartbeat. Goforth will be the first Republican to officially announce his candidacy for governor. Governor Matt Bevin announced he would be running for re-election in August while at the Republican Party Lincoln Dinner, but he has yet to file for re-election and has been close-lipped about who his running mate would be.
With political observers raising questions about Bevin's pledge to run for re-election in 2019, one of his former primary rivals is showing interest in the race. WUKY's Josh James has more.
I wanted, in all seriousness, clean up one other thing. You bet I'm running again. Seriously.
That's Governor Bevin back in August, ending speculation that he might choose not to run for re-election. But the Republican has been quiet on the subject since. And now U.S. Representative James Comer says he's interested in the spot should the governor bow out. Comer tells the Lexington Herald Leader he's been receiving worried phone calls from Republicans who are concerned that Bevin hasn't yet filed the paperwork to run. He says he has no interest in mounting a primary challenge to the incumbent governor, so the ball is, quote, in Bevin's court. Comer lost to Bevin by just 83 votes in the 2015 Republican gubernatorial primary. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
State Auditor Mike Harmon has filed paperwork to seek election to a second term as Kentucky's Auditor of Public Accounts. Harmon previously served in the Kentucky House of Representatives for 13 years, representing the people of Boyle and Casey County, and previously Washington County in the 54th District. In keeping with family tradition, Harmon's filing papers were signed by his wife, Lynn Harmon, and mother, Janet Harmon. High-profile reports during Harmon's first 3 years in office include examinations of the University of Louisville Foundation, Kentucky Horse Park, Louisville Arena Authority, and the Kentucky Wired Project. Additionally, Harmon became the first auditor to ever examine the Kentucky Law Enforcement Foundation Program Fund and the Administrative Office of the Courts.
After failing to get deep cuts to nutrition assistance through Congress, President Donald Trump wants to get them by changing the rules. Congress rejected those changes when it passed the Farm Bill in December. Trump has proposed new rules restricting the state's ability to provide SNAP benefits to childless adults living in high unemployment areas who are struggling to find work. Rebecca Vallis is with the Center for American Progress. She says raising minimum wage to just $12 an hour would make a huge difference.
That would save $53 billion in nutrition assistance over the coming decade, and it would do so by ensuring that workers earn enough to afford food.
The administration's figures show that under the proposed rule change, more than 750,000 unemployed people would lose SNAP benefits.
A new study by Healthy Choices Healthy Communities has shown that 45% of residents primarily rely on public transportation rather than personal automobile. The grant funding was utilized to conduct 10 focus groups in the Kentucky counties of Greenup, Boyd and Carter, and Lawrence County in Ohio. Kevin Compton, a communication specialist at Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital, says what they hope to do with the results of the study is to secure more grant funding to address the barriers the study has uncovered.
I think it's easy for us to sometimes take for granted if we have a reliable means of transportation, a steady means of transportation. I think it's easy to take for granted that everyone else does.
The focus groups attracted nearly 140 participants, and further information came from 696 surveys completed by area residents.
The unusually warm weather Kentuckians have been experiencing will decrease over the next few days. Winter weather is expected to appear on Wednesday with highs in the mid-30s. David Schallenberger is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Jackson. He says when warm air comes into the area, it's only a matter of time before something evens that out.
Any slight change in the models that could increase or decrease right now, but we are trending colder in the pattern coming up.
Schallenberger also says eastern Kentuckians could see some snow in the forecast for Saturday into Saturday night.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the week. Tonight, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a low around 51 degrees. Tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers before 1 p.m., partly sunny and windy, with a high near 59. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies and windy, with a low around 33 degrees. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 35. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 20 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 32. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 17. Current temperatures in your listening area are 63 degrees in Flemingsburg, 64 degrees in Lexington, 67 degrees in Inez, 63 degrees in Ashland, 65 degrees in Winchester, and 66 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, Morehead State University Volleyball has announced its 2019 slate. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
Two tournaments and three home dual matches are what's in store for the athletes in MSU's beach volleyball program. Their coach, Jamie Gordon, is excited for his team to be going into their third season. He says this year's schedule will hopefully get fans more familiar with the sport.
We're also having the opportunity to compete the first year in the Atlantic Sun. We're an affiliate member of the A-Sun Conference, and so now that gives our players kind of a postseason opportunity to prepare and play towards. And we'll have our conference schedule and standings and things like that, so that's another piece of the puzzle.
Gordon says this year will also be the first time they will have beach-only players.
In the past two seasons, it's been a complete indoor roster playing on the beach side. Now we have, as I said, four beach-only players, and now our indoor roster will join them. They've been practicing and preparing and working hard in the weight room all fall, and so now this becomes their competitive portion of the season.
Gordon says the biggest difference between playing indoors and on the beach is the surface.
Just being in the sand and the way that your movement and patterns and technique, the way that you jump out of the sand is tremendously different from the way that you would on a hard floor. Probably a fair analogy is, you know, the difference between maybe baseball and softball. Mm-hmm. They're similar because you use a bat and a ball, but it kind of ends there.
With how things are transitional, it really changes how Gordon coaches his team and how his players prepare. However, he thinks it's for the best.
It forces them to be a little bit better at critical thinking and making adjustments, and I think we've seen some of that help our younger players transition back into the indoor game after having to compete in beach. So we're looking forward to the new players that we have, but then we've got players now that this will be their third season competing on the sand, and so I'm anxious to see how their continual growth is moving along.
Gordon says the most important thing is to not overtrain his athletes.
You know, we want this to be a positive process for them, and I think there are enough transferable improvements that they make simply on the beach side that apply to the indoor game. So we're not spending very much time working on the indoor side just because of the transferable benefits that they're going to get from competing in the beach.
The MSU volleyball team opens their season with the Principia College Beach Bash in Fort Wayne on March 1st and 2nd. The event features matches with Principia, Stevenson, Ottawa, Carson Newman, and Tusculum. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's 447 and 66 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Joe Lewis has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet at drive.ky.gov. Preparing now for upcoming changes to driver's licenses and permits can save you time when the new card versions roll out by county in 2019 and continue through spring. A list of the required documents you'll need to bring the next time you renew and to review the rollout schedule for the new mailed credentials online at drive.ky.gov.
Rowan basketball is back at it this week. Alabama and Clemson meet again for the national title tonight, and Kentucky slips in the polls. Those stories and more coming up on your WMKY Sports Report. I'm Joe Lewis. The Rowan County boys basketball team has some work to do after picking up their first loss of the season. The Vikings are now 14-1 on the year following a home loss to Morgan County Friday. Head coach Sean Thacker says he actually saw some improvements with his team in terms of defense, but it was lacking in other areas.
We got to get better defensively. Rebounding the ball, we've gotten a lot better. I thought defensively we were pretty good, but we weren't good enough because we didn't make shots on this end. So it made that, you know, it just kind of showed on that end a little more than it normally does.
The Rowan boys play again Tuesday night when they host Fleming County at 7:45. The Lady Vikings are in the gym this afternoon, preparing for tomorrow night's matchup with Fleming County. Rowan moved to 10-3 on the year with wins over Morgan County and Ashland Blazer over the weekend. Fleming County is at 2-12 on their year, coming off a Friday night loss at Nicholas County. Coach Matt Stokes says his team showed some areas they need to work on during Saturday's matchup with the Kittens.
Second quarter, Ashland was really able to slow us down. They got back in their half-court defense, and we didn't push the ball as well as we should have. So, you know, I think it was a one-point game at halftime. And one of the things we really stressed to the girls was, you know, we got to pick up the pace. We got to get it at a faster-paced game. So we went to a full-court man-to-man press in the second half.
Tip-off Tuesday at Warren Cooper Gymnasium is set for 6 p.m. The college football national championship game takes place tonight. WMKY's Haley Stidham has the story.
The Alabama Crimson Tide and the Clemson Tigers and respective fans are gearing up for the game in Santa Clara, California tonight. Last year, Alabama rallied to beat Georgia for the title. This year, Alabama will meet familiar foe Clemson for the national championship. Alabama has 5 national titles since the 2009 season, including beating Georgia last year. Clemson beat Alabama in the 2017 championship and won the 2015 title by beating Alabama in the final moments. Kickoff is set for 8 p.m. Eastern. You can see that game on ESPN. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
The UK Wildcats are dropping in the polls after falling at Alabama on Saturday 77-75. After starting off SEC play at 0-1, the Cats have an uphill climb in the new and improved conference. Kentucky is ranked 18th in the new Associated Press poll, a 5-spot drop from last week. The Wildcats also are down 5 spots to number 14 in the Sports Illustrated rankings. The new NCAA Power 36 rankings have Kentucky checking in at number 13. UK hosts the Aggies of Texas A&M tomorrow night. Tip-off at Rupp Arena is set for 7 p.m. The Morehead State men's basketball program is preparing to get back on the road this week. The Eagles are coming off a loss to Austin Peay Saturday, 81-67. Still, despite the loss, head coach Preston Spradlin says he saw some things he liked, including the performance of an injured Malik Green.
I tell you, the sky's going to be the limit for Malik, and this was a good game for him because he's a very good athlete, as we know, he's a tough kid. I mean, he's tough in the sense that he played on a hurt ankle tonight, but he's tough every day, and he can play in a game like this. I really like him playing against a physical team, and he'll make the adjustments that you need him to do, and he needs minutes. He needs minutes, and we have opportunities to get that.
MSU plays again Thursday when they take on the Belmont Bruins at 7:30. The Eagle basketball women's team will face off with the defending OVC tournament champion Belmont Bruins Thursday. The Eagles are 10-5 overall, coming off a tough one-point loss to Austin Peay on Saturday. The Eagles were without their steals leader, senior guard Crystal Simons-Kozar, while graduate forward Mackenzie Calvert was limited to 5 minutes of play after suffering an injury in the first quarter. Morehead State and Belmont will be featured nationally on ESPNU. Tip-off is scheduled for 5 p.m. With Wild Card Weekend in the books, the divisional round matchups in the NFL playoffs are set. The slate will kick off with the Indianapolis Colts going on the road to Arrowhead Stadium to play the Kansas City Chiefs on Saturday at 4:35 p.m. It will be the first playoff start for Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, while Colts quarterback Andrew Luck looks to get back to the AFC Championship game for the second time. The Saturday nightcap will see the Dallas Cowboys go on the road to take on the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams open as 7.5-point favorites in that matchup. Sunday slate will kick off with the Los Angeles Chargers heading to Foxborough at 1:05 p.m. to take on Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Early forecasts call for below-freezing temperatures and possibly 3 to 5 inches of snow for that game. And finally, the divisional round wraps up with Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints hosting the Philadelphia Eagles at the Superdome. The Eagles open as 10-point underdogs to the top overall seed in the NFC. The winners of these divisional round matchups will face off in next weekend's conference championship games, which will determine who goes on to play in Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. And that's your look at sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Joe Lewis.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Southeast Missouri for an OVC doubleheader on Thursday, January 17th. The women's game begins at 5:05 p.m., and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
A boost to a per-ton tax on coal is set to expire, cutting the money for the Black Lung Disability Trust Fund, and that's just as the number of cases in coal country is increasing. West Virginia News Service Dan Heyman has that story.
Inaction by a stalemated Congress has gutted important black lung funding at a time when the number of cases in West Virginia is rising rapidly. In spite of promises by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and others, a temporary increase in the per-ton tax on coal is set to expire, cutting that tax by more than half. That leaves the Black Lung Disability Trust Fund that Gary Hairston relies on in debt and underfunded. Hairston has disabling black lung, but the mine company he worked for last went bankrupt, which ended its legal responsibility. He says politicians talk about supporting miners until they have to pay for it.
It almost makes you feel like a soldier sometimes. After you go over and fight, then you come back and they say how much they love you, but then everything that you need to get, you got to fight to get it.
25,000 sick miners and their dependents receive benefits from the fund, averaging less than $600 a month. The industry says the higher tax is hard for already struggling mine companies. And this summer, an officer of the National Mining Association told Reuters the fund is being strained by previous or current smokers. But doctors say it's easy to tell black lung from the effects of smoking. Occupational medicine doctor Carl Wernz says the real issue in Appalachian mines is thinner coal seams, which puts more damaging silica in the dust that miners breathe. Research is finding rates of black lung higher than in decades, and Wernz says he's seeing that in the lungs of his patients every day.
I was originally taught that black lung was mostly a disease of people at the end of their career and in retirement. We're seeing people with pretty advanced black lung who are in their upper 20s and low 30s. They haven't been coal mining for more than 10 years, and we're seeing them already with really advanced disease.
The tax on deep mine coal will fall from $1.10 per ton to 50 cents per ton. According to federal figures, Central Appalachian coal now is selling for about $80 a ton. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin says he had been promised the cuts would be stopped. He calls the failure to do that embarrassing, a sign of poor leadership, and a sad day in America. For the West Virginia News Service, I'm Dan Hyman.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Morehead Theater Guild will hold auditions for End Days, the Guild's next production, scheduled for the first 2 weekends in March. Auditions will be held at the Rowan County Arts Center tonight at 6 p.m., January 9th at 6 p.m., and January 10th at 7:30 p.m. Roles available are 3 males, including 1 teenager, and 2 females, including 1 teenager. Additional information is available at 606-356-0431.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at St. Clair Healthcare in Morehead from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow, January 8th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. Donors will receive a free sweatshirt.
The Morehead History and Railroad Museum offers vintage displays, artifacts, model trains, photographs, videos, and guided tours. The museum is located across from the Morehead Conference Center on East 1st Street, open to the public, and admission is free. Hours are Friday and Saturday from noon to 4 p.m. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Haley Sidham, Kyle Blankenbuehler, WUKY's Josh James, and our feature segments this afternoon came from WMKY's own Chaz Jenkins and West Virginia News Service Dan Heyman. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202 VHNINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next.